Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelzang, and this is episode number 244. Today's show is part of our Fitness Friday series, and it's another great one in our Fitness Friday programs. We will be hearing from returning guest Sabrina Joe, who will join us in just a minute. Sabrina Joe, of course, is a favorite with our Not Old Better audience and is the American Council on Exercise Director of Science and Research Content. Sabrina Joe will be here to share important information about research into back pain, helpful exercises to combat this problem, and some ideas about stretching. But first, and I promise, we'll be joined by Sabrina Joe in just a moment, because as you'll soon hear, I need her for this conversation. We are going to talk about diet right up front. Okay, I admit it, I was once one of those guys for whom weight loss was relatively quick and painless. I've never been skinny, but I've always practiced good health, competed in sports, exercised, and ate nutritionally. My previous waistline was always around 32 inches for pant size. Yeah, I know what you want to call me, and I don't blame you. So kick back and laugh when I tell you that the pounds decided to take up permanent residence after turning 60 and a stressful couple of years. No amount of calorie counting or exercise did the trick, which threw me into a tailspin worse than those teacups at Disneyland. So now, at 61, I need to lose some weight. And I've set a goal, which we'll review over the course of the next few weeks, and Sabrina Joe will oversee this with me. So here's my headline. Nutrition and exercise are equally important when trying to lose weight. That's right. Diet and exercise, period. Depending on who you talk to, those words are either dirty or sacred. There's no doubt that they're both vitally important to good health, but do they carry equal weight when it comes to losing weight? Again, remember, I'm going to prove this with my own weight loss program because I believe all the exercise in the world won't help you lose weight if your nutrition is out of whack. And this is the premise of this show. And now we'll bring in Sabrina Joe for her learned opinion on my plan, goals, and next steps together. And I'll tell you right up front, I am committed to listening to her guidance on my weight loss plan. Following this conversation, we're going to hear from Sabrina about this subject of back pain, which I know you're all going to want to listen to. Sabrina Joe, it is wonderful to talk to you as always.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be here.
You know, we've had some travel, we've had some holidays to schedule around. You're on some travel now, but we're both back at it, and I just appreciate your time. And so I want to start just with a simple question. Do you want to start with some personal news? How's that for a question?
Personal news for you?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm gonna share something with you that you and I have chatted about, and I think it's going to be news to our listeners. So
I think that's a great place to start. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So here it goes. Okay. So again, for listeners, as background, approximately 2 weeks ago, Sabrina and I spoke about some great listener emails that I've received asking questions about our Fitness Friday show, specifically about weight loss. And Sabrina and I talked about those emails a little bit. And once we get permission from you, the listeners, we'll share some of those. But here's the personal news part. You know, because the subject of weight loss is on everybody's mind, and it's an important one to me personally, I've agreed to begin with Sabrina's guidance and coaching, along with weigh-ins by my local family doctor, a weight loss and exercise program. So I just want you to know, Sabrina, over the last 2 weeks, with the summer heat here in DC, I've lost 6 pounds, you know, really mainly from stepping up my exercise program. I mentioned I was riding my bike to the gym, you know, kind of in the summer DC local heat. Plus I'm eating smarter. And my goal, I'm going to go on record here, Sabrina, my goal is to lose 20 pounds by September, which coincides with the start of the National Institutes on Aging Go for Life Month, which you and I will do some work together on. But I want to get down to 170 pounds from 190, and I'm already down 6. But, you know, over this last year, Sabrina, I've eaten some fatty foods, and I think, you know, with my age now at 61, the weight doesn't come off with exercise alone. It's really kind of a two-pronged approach. I'm hoping you'll agree with that.
I definitely agree with that approach.
Good.
And I just want to say, first of all, when you announce the goal and you put it out there to everyone, mm-hmm, now, everyone mm-hmm. knows,
yep.
you laughed a little bit. And I'm wondering if you think the laughter was probably a little bit of a nervous laughter. It kind of sounded yeah. like you were a little bit afraid to share that. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. Good question. Thanks for that insight. Yeah. Well, I do think, you know, I've always been a fitness guy, but as I've gotten older, the weight certainly has climbed up there to 190 pounds, which isn't, you know, awful. You know, I still, you know, maintain my exercise program, but I have tried over the past few months to lose that weight, to drop it, and I haven't had a great deal of success. So yeah, so going on record here is, you know, makes me think, okay, I got to do this, or, you know, and I also feel like there have been enough of these emails saying kind of similar things. You know, I need something that I can stick with. I want to do this better. I want to be healthier. I want to drop, you know, that excess 10, 15, 20 pounds. And I think those are good numbers to target, because I think if you're over that weight, that's a lot to think. I mean, if you're 30 pounds overweight, that's a lot to kind of take on. But I think 10, 15, 20 pounds is a reasonable enough goal, but it's a goal nonetheless. And so I want to hit it. And so, yeah, I want to be, you know, honest with everybody, and I want you to feel like, okay, Paul's serious, you know. so I'm bearing my soul here, Sabrina.
yeah, you're just putting it all out there, and and that's great. And you know, no matter what happens, whether you reach the goal number on the scale or not, it will be, I think, an enjoyable journey. The process itself mm-hmm. is where you can learn a lot about yourself and create some healthy habits, whether or not the scale, you know, shows you anything or not. So I'm always excited when someone's that committed to to a goal that they share it with the public, and that sometimes also really snaps to focus what needs to get done.
Yeah.
So congratulations for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thanks for the motivation. As always, you and I've talked about this. I just so enjoy talking to you. My listeners love these programs, these Fitness Friday programs. And so I think this is a good, you know, it's a good subject. I think it's an important one. And I do think that, you know, I need to do it, but I also feel like many of us need to kind of think in these terms. Yeah, as you say, irrespective of maybe what the scale says, to eat healthier, to get a little bit more exercise is just plain, you know, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and it's also not a bad idea. There's nothing wrong with having a goal as a numerical marker, like you said, 20 pounds. That's not wrong or bad, but it can, if you're the kind of person who focuses on pass fail or success and failure, make you feel bad, you know, if you don't hit some arbitrary goal. So there might be more to discuss there, but mm-hmm. we can flesh that out now or later. It's up to you.
Well, I do want to mm-hmm. use this as a marker, and I say, this 6 pounds has come off pretty quickly. I think maybe some of that is just that initial kind of, you know, because the heat, you know, we have this DC humidity and mm-hmm. summer heat. I know that the weather in Kansas can be like this too. And I think it has contributed to that quick weight loss. So I'm hoping that over the course of the next few weeks, as I report in to you, that I do have, you know, some success at hitting some of these other numbers along the way. So yeah, all of this together is a very vocal representation on my part of my commitment, but also one that, you know, I got to do it now. I'm being, you know, I've got Sabrina that's watching me closely, and so I got to do
it. If nothing else, I'll be asking some questions.
Yep.
So that you may or may not feel good about answering if you fall off track. So that's sometimes what a coach can do, is just ask the right questions.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm going to, you know, I have committed this to my doctor. He wants to weigh me in a month, and you'll get that report. So I'm about, you and I have not met yet face to face, but I'm almost 6 feet tall, and I kind of have a medium-ish frame, but I got up to 190 pounds, and my whole life I'd been probably in that 160, which is probably a little too thin for me these days, but I definitely think I can get down to 170. So I've lost six. I'm right in that 184, 185 range, and I intend to lose another 15, Sabrina.
Okay.
Well, all right.
You put it out there now.
Yep.
I'm going to ask you one question before we kind of put a button on this, because I think it's important for everyone to hear, maybe even for you to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You say that losing this next 15 pounds by September is important, and you kind of tied it to the National Institutes of Aging, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The September goal. Why is that important?
For no reason other than just, I think we're going to be talking a lot about this Go for Life month over the course of the next month up to the September date. And I thought it'd be nice to get everybody thinking about, as you put it so well, this kind of evidence-based approach to physical activity, which is what ACE certainly has as a mission, I know, and National Institutes on Aging has as a mission. So I think you said it well when you said maybe, you know, the scale shouldn't be the ultimate, marker or goal or expectation even, but just the getting out and being a little more active, which I've started to step up, and then coupled with better eating. So the September month isn't really so critical here, but it does coincide with this other kind of almost arbitrary date, but an important one, and that is the Go for Life month in September. So that's why I chose it.
Okay, well, fair enough. So it sounds like you're interested in the healthy habits to go along with these other benefits of maybe losing weight so that the scale numbers come out differently. Mm-hmm. The last question I'll ask you about this is, I'm trying to get an understanding of how confident you are about your ability to do this. So if you could rate for me on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being very, very low confidence and 10 being absolutely 100% confident, where would you rate yourself in terms of your confidence in the ability to create these healthy habits and lose the weight?
Yeah, I'm very confident about it. But here's the little side, you know, bar mention. At 61, I think it is a little bit more of a challenge to, I've always been pretty slender, you know, and I suppose I have enough of an ego to want to get back down to, you know, a good weight that my, you know, just that my pants fit better. But I also feel like I'm motivated. And, I mentioned that, you know, my father passed away in November. The year has been kind of a crazy one. And so now I've got some things kind of lined up that I really do feel very confident that this is something that I want to prove to myself. But I also feel like I want to do this for my health. And so I do. So that number, you ask from kind of 1 to 10, I'm going to give it a 9 because I really feel very confident that I can do this.
All right. 9. So if you could tell me real quickly, what makes you confident at a level of 9 versus, say 7?
I think because, The the motivation is there. The timing is right. I think the stars, if you will, have kind of lined up in that I really do have a focus after kind of having a little bit of a stressful year. And I think we all have stressful time periods where we kind of eat a little more than we should, or maybe even eat the wrong foods. Plus, this is summer. I think that it's easier for me to be outside getting that exercise. So I think if we were talking November, you know, December months here in the kind of the DC area where we get, you know, very cold weather and snow, I would say maybe 7. But I'd have a lot of things kind of in my favor right now, which pushes it up in my mind to a 9.
Okay. Well, thank you for being honest in answering that. And this, and
always.
And it helps me and the listeners understand not only kind of your motivations and your confidence, but we heard a little bit about maybe in the winter months how there might be some obstacles in your way that we might want to address.
Right. Yep, absolutely. I think that's good too. That'll be good discussion to have during those time periods, because I think it's, you know, it's harder for those of us who love being outside, and when we can't get there, we have that kind of that easy excuse. And then you and I talked about this recently, where there's just a sedentary lifestyle that sets in kind of during that period. At least it does sometimes in my case, where, you know, I just think, oh my gosh, it's so cold out. You know, I don't want to go on a walk. You know, I'll just let the dogs go roam in the backyard and I'll get to the gym, but that'll be the extent of it. I think it's always nice when I can combine the gym with maybe just getting up and moving a little bit, and you and I talked about that too, with better eating. And I think that combination really gives me the confidence, yet in the winter months, one of those three is missing.
Got it. All right. Well, Paul, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited to kind of be alongside you in this journey.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And I think it is going to be, it'll be good. We'll talk. I'll give you weekly updates. And I think that in and of itself, you know, again, kind of getting back to the, why is my confidence? I think reporting, I'm the kind of person that I like, you know, I tend to be somebody who likes to have a goal and works towards it, but likes also reporting on it, not from an egotistical standpoint, but just because, okay, I know Sabrina's going to be curious about it. I do not want to let, you know, those important people in my life down. So I'm going to buck up and I'm going to do this for a lot of reasons.
Yep. And being accountable to someone to right. answer some right. questions, maybe about metrics or, you know, just, you know, how do you feel about what's going on? That for some people can be very encouraging and provide that level of support that takes it to the next level. So if I can do that for you, I'm totally on board.
Good. Well, we're going to do it. We are going to do it. But thank you very much. So I want to segue into another subject that I think is equally important for anyone, irrespective of age. But I do think that as men and women age, you know, north of 55, and this is a subject that my wife is facing right now. She teaches ballet. She's had a pretty active summer teaching, you know, kind of the summer program where some of her other teachers are off on vacation, and so some of the teaching load has fallen to her. And as a result, she's had a really crabby, stiff back. And so I want to talk to you about some research that Ace did with regard to back muscles and, you know, some exercises that we might do, particularly focused on the 55-plus kind of age group. And I'll start with really kind of a very basic question for you, Sabrina Jo, and that is, why is it that back muscles are so complicated and they're so interrelated with other muscle groups? What is it about the back that makes it just such a complex group of muscles?
This is a great question. I don't think I've ever been asked this question before, and it's a really interesting answer, though, at least from my perspective, because I'm a nerd about this kind of stuff. But one of the things that make that makes the back musculature so complex is the fact that it's located in your torso. And within the torso is the core. And the core is the muscle and soft tissue that's responsible for supporting the spine and moving the spine, as well as those very important adjacent joints like the shoulders and the hips. And when you've got this complex interplay of muscles that support the spine and that also help support those adjacent muscles, really what you have is any movement that the body makes is eventually going to end up kind of affecting the spine. So
interesting.
That's why the back is so complex and so important. And what we know about kind of having a healthy back is that the soft tissues of the back, so the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments, if those things are healthy, then your back health in general is much better.
And so, you know, I think one begets the other. And so this next question has to do with just this complicated set of muscles, and that is training these muscles is complicated too, right?
It really is because it's hard to think of a back muscle doing something in strict isolation because it affects the adjacent segments of the spine and also those very mobile joints of the shoulders and the hips. And try as we might, if we're exercising and we try to isolate a muscle, you might be trying to target a lot of energy and contraction focus into one muscle. But the reality is the soft tissues of the area and other muscles are really helping and supporting that movement as well. So it makes it difficult to really tease out just one back muscle doing just one thing.
We love that you're a nerd about this, and it's so helpful to talk to you. So let's go immediately now to kind of a solution, and let's talk about some specific exercises that can help us with, some back integration and, you know, kind of working across a spectrum of muscles in that torso. And tell us about, you know, subjects like bridging and, you know, back flexion exercises and pelvic tilts and maybe some arm work using the shoulders. Those are all mentioned in the research. And so I want to get your sense as to what's best. Should we do all of this? Should we alternate some of this on different days? Tell us kind of give us a sense as to some good exercise to think about that will help us.
Sure. Well, let me start with a very global high-level overview, and then I'll drill down to some maybe specific exercises and even what some of our ACE-supported research has shown.
Great.
So in terms of designing an exercise program for back health, an exercise professional will always look at the movements of the spine. And the spine has really four different ways that it moves. It goes into flexion, which is if, let's say you're standing up and you reach down to touch your toes. That's spine flexion or forward flexion.
Okay.
Then you can do the opposite of that, which is let's say you're standing and then you look up at the sky and you lift your chest and you arch your back. You kind of like you're doing a back bend. So that's back extension. Then you've got the spine going into what we call lateral flexion or side bending. So if you were just to stand and then slide your hand down the side of your thigh toward your knee and you were doing like a side bend, that's another movement. And then the last movement that the spine does is rotation. So think of twisting your torso.
Right.
So as a fitness or exercise professional, anytime I'm designing a program to have a healthy back, I want to make sure that all those four movements actually get addressed and get put into the program so that all the bases are covered. And when we start to drill down to specific exercises, though, you know, then that opens up a whole nother toolbox of, well, if I want to do just back extension, there are just a million different ways I can go about doing that. There are all kinds of exercises I can do for the side bend, for the forward flexion, and so on. So some of the research that we've done at ACE is we're always looking for the most efficient ways to get the job done. And if we can find an exercise or two or three that seem to work a lot of muscle groups effectively all at the same time, then we feel like we found an efficient way to address putting that exercise into someone's exercise program to really help them save time and get the most bang for the buck.
Great. That's brilliant.
Yeah. So in a recent study that we did, we looked specifically at kind of the upper middle back muscles, and we wanted to find out what are some exercises we can do that will help strengthen those most effectively and most efficiently. And the study is quite involved. I mean, we tested five different muscle groups and we did several different exercises. And what we found was that the best exercise, if you're crunched for time and you can really only pick one, would be something called the bent over row. And you can imagine if you were holding some dumbbells or even a bar in your hands and you're standing upright, and then you simply hinged forward at the hip, so you're kind of leaning forward. And in that position, in that kind of bent forward position where you're hinging at the hips, you're not bending at the back. Your back is very neutral or straight, if you want to think of it that way, but your torso is kind of parallel with the floor. Mm-hmm. And then in that position, you take the weights and you pull them up towards your torso. So you're doing like a, well, like it says, a bent over row.
Okay, right.
What we found was that was probably the most efficient muscle or exercise at activating as many muscle groups at the same time as possible. The issue with that, though, is that not everyone, especially with their lower back, might be able to tolerate that movement. So there are many other options available, but let's say you've got a healthy back, you don't have any back pain. I think the bent over row might be a good all over exercise to really start with your back program.
That's helpful. I'm sure ACE is going to have some great images perhaps to share with audience, and I'll reach out to Sabrina and maybe get some links to where we can go and find some visual examples of what Sabrina is talking about. I think it makes perfect sense, and you described it really well, but we'll also share some images too, Sabrina Jo. So let's talk about I have one final question for you, because I think this is just really interesting, and it's a natural kind of offshoot, and then it has to do with this idea of kind of stretching. And what I've certainly seen in the gym, and I do myself, and that is to use a foam roller. And I want to get your take, Sabrina Jo, on, you know, as a member of the 55 plus age community, is a foam roller something that you would encourage us to use? Should we modify the foam roller? Should we try to use a foam roller that's maybe a little softer as opposed to kind of the more firm foam rollers that are out there? Maybe they're not even foam rollers, but they're almost a pipe, you know, in terms of their just sheer sturdiness, not really much give as a piece of foam does. So I think this is referred to as myofascia release. Is that a term that you'd use to describe this? And how could we go about using some of these devices to give us a better stretch and maybe give our backs a little bit of a break?
Yes, Paul. So you opened up a box there.
Okay. Sorry.
It's no problem at all. It's a hot topic because there is some controversy around it. We honestly, to answer your question, we really don't know what it does, if it does anything, and we're starting to get some research around this and starting to look into how it might help performance or health or maybe even pain relief. But But I love this topic, so I'll tell you a little bit. I'll give you a little taste of what I know.
Good, good. Thank you.
So myofascial release, or self-myofascial release, is what fitness professionals tend to call it, because, you know, as fitness pros, in our scope of practice, we don't put our hands on people. We don't we don't massage them. We don't unless we've got that extra credential, of course. But helping people kind of do self-massage is one way to think of using these foam rollers.
Okay.
And good. So we kind of guide people into some best practices for that. And myofascia is a term for a thin covering of connective tissue that surrounds different compartments in the body. And that includes muscle groups as well as down to the muscle fiber itself. So in the beginning of kind of when foam rollers started to be used a lot, there was some talk that, well, it's a self-massage and it actually might help break up some adhesions or scar tissue in the fascia and help us move better. But we really don't, there's really no evidence to show that. And we really don't think that simply rolling around on a foam roller is going to actually do anything deep inside those tissues to break up adhesions or scar tissue. So now we're starting to think that doing this type of self-massage on a foam roller is affecting the nervous system somehow. And I've probably mentioned this at some other time before, but flexibility and stretching and range of motion really is a nervous system activity, because yeah, because the brain has to feel comfortable with your joint moving into its ranges of motion. And one thing that we think that this self-myofascial release or foam rolling might do for people is it might affect the nervous system in such a way that after you roll on an area that's near a joint, it might open up that area. It might let the brain allow the area to move more freely through its range of motion. So we like to pair dynamic movement or dynamic stretching exercises after we do some foam rolling, just to get more range of motion in the joint and prepare us for like moving through activities for performance. So that's kind of a lot to throw at you. But
it's helpful.
I'm glad that you brought it up, though, because a lot of people might be doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yes. Fascinating. So helpful. Maybe we can find some images to put up on the website, too, that will show some of what you're describing with the difference between these rollers, because I know I've seen the really super stiff versions in the gym and then the ones that are less so. And they're more comfortable, and those are the ones I choose to use. But Sabrina Joe, I know you're traveling, you're super busy. We just so value your time, your expertise, and all your thoughts on these subjects. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we're gonna meet again. We're gonna talk again, because I've kind of stated, I planted this flag in the sand.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll have some good questions for you the next time we
Very
meet.
Very good. Well, safe travels to you. We certainly enjoy talking to you, but thanks so much, Sabrina Joe.
The pleasure's all mine. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.